I want to say over an idea that I heard from around many years ago from Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, who's our Salvechik son-in-law, Rosh Shiva and Gush, and the Dvar Torah he gave, Sicha, had a transformative effect on my life, and I want to share it with you. Okay, when you it's about Esther and the Megillah. When you learn the Megillah and you read about Esther, it sort of sounds like there are two different people. The first half of the Megillah to the second half of the Megillah. You have to read about Esther, like what was she like, her personality. So I have a list here of psukim that relate to Esther, and we'll see that she's almost like a different person. Pasuk number one, we're introduced to Esther, Vayi Omenes Hadasa Hi Esther. Mordechai is raising Esther. So Esther's introduced, she's being cared for by somebody else. Mordechai is, you know, raising her. She's totally passive. Pasuk number two, when Esther's taken to the Beis Hanashim, Ubachayom Bayom Mordechai Mitalech Ifnei Chatzar Beis Hanashim, Vadas Hashem Esther Maya Seba. Every day Mordechai goes to check up on Esther. He's watching over her. Again, Esther is someone who needs to be watched over by somebody else. Mordechai is watching her. Esther is in a weak position. And Mordechai is seeing what's going on with Esther. That's Esther. Pasuk number three. Ein Esther Magedas Malarata Ves Amok Ashetzivalea Mordechai. Esther follows Mordechai's instructions. She's passive. She doesn't tell what nation she's from. This, and here's the pasuk. Ves Maimer Mordechai Esther Osa Kasher Haisa Vomna Iso. And Esther does whatever Mordechai says, just like when she was being raised. Esther is a follower. Esther is passive. She fought and she needs to be watched over by Mordechai. She does whatever Mordechai says. There's one exception where Esther doesn't do what Mordechai says. The next pasuk, Mordechai tells Esther, he commands her, go to the king. And Esther basically says, no, I'm not going to go now. It's not the right time. So there, Esther shows she's not inclined to get involved, she's passive. So there, Esther, in the first half of the Megillah, Esther is passive, she's being watched over by Mordechai, and she's a follower. Here there's one place where there's a contradiction. If she follows Mordechai, she's going to be active. So she chose to be passive. So Esther in the first half of the Megillah is passive, a follower, needs to be watched over, not over inclined to get involved. That's Esther until the middle of Perek Daled. Then you have Esther and the rest of the Megillah. Number five, Lech Kol Yehudim. Esther says, tells Mordechai, gather all the Jews, have a 3-day fast. She commands a 3-day fast. And this 3-day fast, Chazal tell us, coincided with Pesach. So Mordechai says to Esther, they fast on Pesach, what about the mitzvahs of Pesach? And Esther says to Mordechai, well, if all the Jews are dead, the Yom Tov of Pesach is not going to help us very much. And she won the debate. So Chazal actually say that Esther had a debate with the Gadol Hador, and she won. So Esther has taken over. She's active one. She has her own ideas. And she debates Mordechai, and she wins. And the Pasuk says, that this is an amazing Pasuk, Vayas, number five, Vayas Mordechai kechol asher tziv salav Esther. And Mordechai does whatever Esther commands. The Megillah is emphasizing, it's highlighting, there's been a complete shift. Until now, Esther's doing what Mordechai says. Now Mordechai does what Esther says, exactly the opposite. Next, Esther invites Haman and Mordechai and Achashverosh to a party, to the two parties, number six. The Gemara gives 12 reasons why Esther had that idea of having the two-party thing. 12 reasons. Esther is active. She's making plans. She's being creative. She's using initiative. Esther now is running the show of saving Klal Yisrael. She's a different person from the one who she was in the first half of the Megillah. Number seven. Vatasim Esther as Mordechai al Beis Haman. Esther places Mordechai al Beis Haman. As opposed to Mordechai helping out Esther, Esther is now helping out Mordechai, and she gives to Mordechai the Beis Haman. Number eight, Esther goes to the queen to ask to override the original decree. Even after Haman was dead, the original decree was still out there. And you had to get a special second decree to override the first one. There were 70 days in between. The Jews were in tzaras, terrible tzaras, for 70 days. That's a separate discussion. So Esther's the one who goes to the king. Now it makes sense she goes to, because she has the access to the king. But again, Esther is the one who's saving Am Yisrael now. She's the active one. Number nine, they wanted another day to fight in Shushan. Right, so the rest of the world, they fought on Yigimel, celebrated Yudala, but in Shushan they wanted to fight on Yudala too. Who goes to the king to ask? Esther is the one who goes to the king to ask for a second day. And then, number 10, when the Megillah is written, it mentions Esther first. Batichtov Esther Malka Basit Mordechai Yehudi. The Megillah mentions Esther's name first, and again, it's emphasizing Esther's playing the major role. And finally, number 11, the words of Esther upheld the days of Purim. Chazal say this refers to the following idea. There was a machlokas whether to include Esther as part of Tanakh. It was a big machlokas. And Esther debated with the Chazal, and her opinion won the day, and that's how we paskin, won the day, and there are 24. So Esther now is debating with Chazal again. She debated with Mordechai. She has an opinion here with the rest of Chazal. Esther's completely taken. It's a new person. She's active. She's taking control. She's using all of her creative abilities, taking initiative. Totally opposite the first half of the Megillah. So what happened to Esther? So the answer is obvious. Esther was given tremendous, stinging, powerful Musar by Mordechai, and the Musar woke her up, and it changed her whole life. That's the key point in the Megillah. When Mordechai gives Esther very harsh musar and totally wakes her up. Here's the pasuk 12. Mordechai, when Esther originally said, "I'm not going to go to the king," Mordechai says, "You think you'll be saved if you don't go to the king?" He says, "You'll be in trouble if you don't go to the king." And then Mordechai says, "This is the line: Umi yodea im ueis kazos higat l'malchus. Who knows if it's for this purpose you became the king, you became the queen?" The Ibn Ezra says. The whole reason you became the queen is for this reason. Mordechai says to Esther, wake up. You're this little Tamimistik Beis Yaakov girl, and now you're the queen of the whole world. Why do you think Hashem did this to you? Hashem gave you this amazing koach, this ability. You can influence the king of the whole world. Wake up. You think it's, just it happens to be this way? I happen to be the queen now of the whole world. There's a reason. Hashem put you there for a reason. Hashem's running the show. This is why you became queen. Wake up and take over. The Kol Dodi Haggadah by Rav David Feinstein Shlita. He wrote a parish on the Haggadah. I'll just read two paragraphs of what he says. It's on the sheet. Mordechai replied to a hidden message of Esther. One she did not say openly and may have even been subconscious. Esther may have counseled delay because she did not see herself in personal danger and was somewhat apathetic to the danger facing her brethren. That's the language of Rav David, that Mordechai felt that Esther maybe was a drop on her level, apathetic. Number two, for years Mordechai had been wondering why Hashem had put Esther into this position. Now we finally saw clearly that she had been selected as Hashem's instrument to save Bnei Yisrael. It followed that if she shirked her mission at this critical juncture, she'd be guilty of a dereliction of her duty to Hashem. Jews who rise to prominence take this to heart. Surely Hashem gave them power and influence they could act on behalf of the Jewish of Bnei Yisrael. You become queen to help Bnei Yisrael. Mordechai says to Esther, wake up. You have this tremendous ability. Use it. A person has a zechus in life. Rabbi Lichtenstein said, every zechus in life carries an achrayus to use it. Every merit, every special ability you have creates a obligation, a responsibility. Why did Hashem give it to you and not to somebody else? You have to use it. Use your talents. Use them for something productive and don't waste them. Esther had to be woken up, and once she was woken, she took over. She was the queen. She used all her power. She knew what it would take. She knew she had a daven for 3 days. She knew a lot of Shai to the Shemaya. She knew about the 12 plans. She knew Achashverosh and Haman. How to work it out with the two parties, how to speak to Achashverosh. She had to be woken up. Use your talents And she did. This is the message of the Megillah, that if you're given any special zechus in life, any special extra talent, you have to use it for something important, something you have a responsibility to use it. And this has many, many, many applications. It applies to every person. If a person thinks he could be good in chinuch and transmitting the Masorah, so Rabbi Lichtenstein always pushed people going into chinuch. If you have a chance to help others in ruchnias, it's a tremendous chesed. If you think you have that ability, you have that ability. Some people have a knack for kiru, so you use it. A person's good with people and understands people. To be a firm psychologist, religious psychologist, the Torah world needs lots of religious psychologists. But the good, solid psychologists, what they're doing, very important. And if you have that ability, some people are good writers. The Torah world needs really exciting, completely kosher novels for teenagers. People like to read, for girls, for boys. If you're a good writer, so do it. Start writing really exciting novels that are kosher, and everyone will buy them if they're good. You have to use your talents. That's in your professional life. Somebody's given a little extra money. You have extra money lying around. You better give it to tzedakah. You better give tzedakah the right way. Why does Hashem give you the money, not somebody else? Why does Hashem give you the money? Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in all over the place in his svarim. I mean, others say it, but he just says it with a lot of examples. But it's not our money. Hashem owns everything. When Hashem gives you money, you are the overseer. You're the distributor of Hashem's money. It's Hashem's money. You're the apotropos. Hashem gives you rules how to distribute, and the first rule is giving a lot, what you have to give to tzedakah. Then the rest you're allowed to use the way it's not your money. It's Hashem's money. Hashem owns everything. Hashem's the kone akol. You know, owns everything. A person, it's a big responsibility to be rich. It's a very big. You better use your money well. It's a huge responsibility to give out, to use the money the right way. Bezat Hashem, all of you are going to be rich.
Amen.
By the way, Sameach B'chelka doesn't mean, oh, okay, I'll be satisfied with having $50,000 in the bank, I'm Sameach. It means Sameach B'chelka. It doesn't mean sad. Sameach means happy. That's a whole other discussion. You have to be happy with what you have. Really happy. Because all of us, by the way, all of us are multimillionaires. All of us are multimillionaires. Lo'aleinu, a person doesn't have a lung that works properly. Doesn't have kidneys that work properly. He paid $1 million for that. Just add up what we have. Our eyes work, our ears work. Rabbi Gimelitz, I'll say this all the time. Millionaires. We're all multimillionaires. With much more millions of dollars, what we have. And we don't need it. But think about it. We owe Hashem everything. But aside from Sameach B'chelko, so many of you, Zad Hashem, all of you will be wealthy in the financial way as well. You have to use it. You have to use it for the right reasons. You have extra money, you better use it. What do you use your extra money for? You buy a big house. A person buys a big house. And he has a lot of money. And he buys a big chandelier, $25,000, big chandelier. And the mezuzahs, he buys a cheapo mezuzahs that he gets at the local store. That's not the right way to do things. If you have money, you have to use it. You use it for mitzvahs. You buy good mezuzahs. You buy a very good pair of tefillin. And for sure, you give tzedakah. A person has any ability, you have to use it. Let's say you're a friendly person. Some people smile easily. Everyone's at ease around them. So you have to be that guy. When people come into the shul, you invite them, you welcome them in the shul. Make them feel at home in the neighborhood, at home in the community. Sometimes that first time you walk into a shul, it changes a person's whole life, how people react when they come in. My father, Zichron Ali Brocha, so I spoke about this. That's what he did. For decades, he was the one who invited people in, like with a big smile, people came into the shul, invited them over for Kiddush. He changed hundreds of people's lives, families' lives, in my parents' neighborhood by doing that. He had a koach, he was great with people, friendly, always with a smile, and he used it for good things. You're a good ball player. Some people are good ball players. That's nice. Okay. So, and people want to play because you're good. People want to play with you because you're good. You're always on the court a lot. You win, you play, or whoever wins keeps on going, so you're on the court a lot. If you're the guy that doesn't use nivel peh, that'll change the whole scene. Because if you don't curse when you play, that'll affect everyone else. Or, and, You're the guy that doesn't go crazy on when there's no call on you. What happens when it's a bad call and they don't make the call? And, you know, it was obviously a foul. They didn't make the call. So you're the guy. Everyone's watching. You're the good player. And if you don't argue and you're calm, you're setting the tone for the whole game. It's a big responsibility. We have guys here in our yeshiva who were like that. They give shirim Thursday night. Mr. Dweck and Feld. They're both very good ball players. And they were the guys on the court, never arguing, always, for sure, never any nibble pet, that's for sure. And it affected things. When they played, everything was different. Because when the top guys are acting properly, it changes everything. It's a responsibility being a top guy, being a top guy playing ball. It's a responsibility. You have to use it. And the way to use it, it's good. It's great to be good. It's something, okay, not all of us have that koach. I was good at being the announcer. Anyway, whatever. But I wasn't the player. I would announce. I understand, but I can't understand how it works. But I can't. Anyway, I could have been a color commentator. I could have been the side guy, the color commentator for football, for okay, whatever. Different. Baruch Hashem made a.
Didn't use your talent.
Tried to make a good choice. I didn't use my talents. You watch a play action pass in football, and you watch the linebacker lean in like half step in when the play action pass. And the tight end gets just behind the linebacker. An 8-yard gain, drags him 4 more yards, a 13-yard gain. Ah, that's exciting to watch. Anyway, whatever, that's not for now, it's not for now. Okay, so let's use other talents. Anyway, you're a good ball player, you gotta use it. You have to be the guy. You have to be the guy that doesn't go crazy on the bad calls and doesn't use nibble pen. Then it affects the whole atmosphere of the game. That's your Esther. That's your Esther, if you're a good ball player. You're at the office. You're working somewhere. A walking Kiddush Hashem. A person talks a certain way, dresses a certain way. There are stories. So she didn't say, but her. I heard from friends of her coworkers that I knew. Around, no one. They don't use nibble pen in the office. When she's in the room, no one curses when she's in the room. When she's around, you would say, is short because she is short. And she doesn't have a booming voice, she talks calmly. Just the way she dresses and the way she talks and the way she conducts herself, people act differently around her. All of you can do that. All of you can do that. You're out there in the outside world, you act the way a Ben Torah is supposed to act. It commands respect. But you have to do it. Some people are good at organizing things. They're good, they organize things. You know, Tomchei Shabbos. You know Tomchei Shabbos? There's Tomchei Shabbos in different cities. It's a massive operation. I once delivered for them on Pesach. I was there with my kids. We delivered Tomchei Shabbos of Queens. Massive operation. Thousands of boxes. Hundreds of delivery points. Dozens of cars at this big warehouse. And they asked us where to deliver. I said, I know Kew Garden Hills. I know Forest Hills. I said, I don't know Kew Gardens because at Metropolitan the numbers switch and you get lost every time. That's for me. So I got Kew Gardens and I got lost in Metropolitan, whatever. We had a lot of fun. This is before Waze. This is like prehistoric. This is before Waze. Anyway. So we delivered. What an operation. So somebody is running Tomchei Shabbos of Queens. It's amazing. Some guys, it's now March Madness. Some guys he's the guy, he can organize the March Madness betting pool. He's got, it's very complicated. These are complicated things. Because whatever, and what your team loses early, how many points do you get? You get points for the first round, the second round, you get more points for the semifinals. You get extra points, 16 beats number one. So some guy is using his abilities for that. Use it for Tomchei Shabbos of Queens. As opposed to for being, you're the guy that organized now. But make sure when you get older, use it for Tomchei Shabbos of Queens. You gotta use it for Tomchei Shabbos. There's a mushel that I heard. I think it's a perfect mushel. I heard it from Rav Linowitz, Shlita. He's all of our Rebbein. He's the editor of Art Scroll Gemara. So he's the Rebbe of all of us here. Everyone uses Art Scroll. Rav Steinman used Art Scroll Yerushalmi. And Rav Steinman used Art Scroll Yerushalmi. They have a picture. And everyone uses Art Scroll. So he gave the following mushel. You should never forget this mushel your whole life. You're walking down the street, it's a hot day, and you see a gold coin. Pick it up, a $10,000 gold coin. It's Hefker, you got $10,000 gold coin. Amazing. It's a really hot day, you're sweating. You're walking by, and there's a soda machine. You say, oh, wow, I'm thirsty. And this gold coin happens to be exactly the same size and weight and shape as a 5-shekel coin. Thank you, Hashem. Take the gold coin, put it in the Coke machine, and you get a soda for 5 shekel. What a fool. The guy just wasted a $10,000 gold coin on a soda. That's a perfect mushroom for thousands of things in life. You're given a $10,000 gold coin. Don't waste it on a soda. You have an ability. You're good with people. You can be a writer. So be the guy who invites people into the shul. Be the guy that does good things for Am Yisrael with writing. You're an organizing guy. Be the guy that runs Tom Clay Shabbos. Some guys have talents in making videos and stuff. Use it. There's a thing out there. This happened started a couple years ago. What a thing out there in Am Yisrael. You know, to take on the Super Bowl, that's impossible. You're not taking on, but the halftime show you can take on theoretically, and they did it. Started a couple years ago. You make this fancy schmancy video. It was missing one thing. It was missing my book. Whatever, but it was almost perfect. You make a fancy video, and you have thousands of people. The numbers are in the thousands. They know how many there are, who watch that instead of watching the halftime show. What a way to use your talents. That's using a $10,000 coin for $10,000. That's what you're supposed to use these talents for. So the message of Esther is, if you have any talent in life, anything special, you have to use it for, you have a responsibility to use it for something good, something productive, something positive. I gave many examples. The most important way to use any talent is as follows. If you're not rock solid religious, nothing else is going to happen. If you're not rock solid religious, you're not going to be that guy making the Kiddush Shem of the office. If you're not rock solid religious, you're not going to be that guy in shul. If you're not rock solid religious, you're not going to be the guy who's running. You're going to be gone, Lawlane. So the most important thing you have to do is to make sure you're rock solid religious. A person talks, I want to help people, help others. I want to help my children, help my students. Eile toldos Noach Noach. The most important descendant you have is you. That's what the Midrash sort of says. Eile toldos Noach, Noach. These are the descendants of Noach, Noach. He's his most important descendant. So what you have to for sure make sure you do is stay rock solid religious yourself. Then you have a chance of using your talents for ruchnius. You have a chance. A guy stays in Israel 2 years. Hopefully it's enough. You've got to make plans. Exact plans, what you're going to be doing, and night seder, and if you're not in YU or Landers, where you're going to be in yeshiva half the day, you have to have a mukkim, and you have to make plans, or else a guy can stay in Israel 2 years, and then go back to the States without making plans, and after 2 or 3 years, he's a $10,000 guy with buying the soda. There's barely any remnant effect of what he did, and that's a shame. It's enough. The world that we're in, we live in a totally insane world. Things that you read about that we have to deal with. Just to stay a little bit solid and religious. You have to have chizuk. People need chizuk. Rav Nevin Saul Shalita, the Gadol Hador, when he davens mincha in this room, sits over there and he reads English Gedolim books. That's what he does before mincha. All of us see this happen. There are pictures. All of us see it happen. Strange. Why is he reading Gedolim? Why isn't he learning Gemara? So I asked a question, how come he's learning Gemara with me? So I've never said, I get chizuk. He told us I get chizuk when I read the Gedolim books. So I've never saw. So learning in yeshiva, you know, you can imagine, he's asking his parents, another year, I've been learning, I need Shana Samach Zayin, learning 66 years full time, I need another year, maybe in another year, everything's going to be good for me. How many decades learning full time, all the time, to go to Lador, and he's getting extra chizuk. And we don't need chizuk? Of course we need chizuk. And for sure, the most important $10,000 coin is our lives. Don't waste your lives. You have to be rock solid religious. That's step one. And then, use your talents. So this is the message of Esther and the Megillah. Esther was passive, not getting involved, a follower. And she was woken up by Mordechai. She took over. She totally took over the Megillah. Everything. The whole second half of the day, she's doing everything. Because Mordechai said, wake up. Hashem gave you a talent. So the message for us is, number one, Hashem gave us lives. He gave us a chance to be in the Tiv 1 year, 2 years. Use it. Number one, use it to stay rock solid religious and obey Hashem. And then number two, any talent you have beyond the basics, you have to use it for good things, something productive. I gave lots of examples. It applies to everyone in this room. So this is the message from and takeaway from Esther and the Megillah, that don't waste $10,000 gold coin on a soda. Okay, we'll stop here.
Go ahead.
That was great.